Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, we have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, the former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, this is it, show number 200 of Inside New Mexico right now.
Yeah, and then we had about 9 or 10 years with the program.
Congressional Review, yeah.
Yeah, so we've been doing this for a while. It's always fun and good talking to the people out there, but I appreciate your work for 200 shows.
Well, thank you, Steve. It is fun work. You know, we got to remember Harv Tweit, who started this with you many years ago.
Yeah, Harv was a great person to work with. Hated to lose him and still think about him from time to time. We lose a lot of our good friends as we go through life.
Yeah, and we would be remiss if we didn't thank the radio stations around the state of New Mexico who carry the program. Wouldn't do us any good if nobody heard it. As always, we have a lot to talk about this week, but I've noticed as we get closer to the election next year, I start to see our Democrat friends tend to lean more conservative. Is this something you've seen over the years?
Yeah, I remember in that one debate with Tom Udall for U.S. Senate, I said, Tom, if you're going to try to be Steve Pierce, you need to change how you cut your hair. Anyway, it was funny at the time, but I was getting at the same point that you are, that Democrats run sounding like Republicans. And that's the reason they hate for us to point out what they're doing. I remember one Democrat senator, when we started handing out things in her district, we were passing out how she voted on abortion stuff, because she had been telling people for 10 years that she was pro-life. And then all of a sudden, we were putting things in people's mailboxes that lived next door to her. We got this screaming from her mom, you can't be distributing stuff like that. And, the Democrats really hate for the truth to be pointed out.
But boy, they sure like to make up stuff about you.
Oh, yeah. They love to create stuff, even to talk about me. But, you know, we're winning. Just take a look at what the Democrats are doing in this gerrymandering case. The closer we get to the trial, the more smoke that they're throwing up. Just yesterday or the day before, we got a news story that broke that the top Democrats in the state are trying to kick Tim Jennings. He's the Democrat mayor from Roswell. They're trying to kick him out of that gerrymandering lawsuit because they know that his presence means a lot to the Democrat legal system here in New Mexico. They tend to listen when Democrats speak. And the fact that a Democrat aligns with us saying, wait, your gerrymandering is taking away the voice of oil and gas. It's taking away the voice of agriculture. The gerrymandering is bad for New Mexico jobs. And he's willing to stand up and say that as a Democrat. I just spoke at a group in Roswell last week, dropped by his office afterwards to thank him and say, you know, I really appreciate it. I know that you're under fire. Well, that was even before they filed this motion in court to get him kicked off. But, you know, additionally, the Democrat legislators notified the court last week that they're not going to appear and give deposition at this lawsuit. So again, it indicates that they're frightened of what they've done. They don't want to be held accountable for their actions. So they think, well, we just won't show up. We'll get any other Democrats to not be involved. Then we can claim it's just a Republican deal. Well, right now they can't claim it. And so they're scrambling really hard. I always get a kick out of watching how people do the closer that judgment comes.
It's got to be tough for all of our representatives in the state now, because the way they gerrymandered, their districts are so huge. You look at CD3 down to where you are, all the way up to Farmington.
That's a 12-hour drive if you go direct. But then if you have to go up the border, go up the eastern side, because that district is kind of L-shaped. And if you don't cut across the other districts and stay in it, then it's even longer than 12 hours. So the representative in that CD3 came one point down into this area and expressed openly that it was just too big. She wasn't able to represent the people down in this area. Well, the truth is she doesn't like the voters here. They don't like the conservative Democrats. They don't like the conservative Republicans. And that's what lives in this district, the southern district that used to be CD2.
And speaking of CD2, our congressman there, Gabe Vasquez, has proposed a bill to have the energy companies provide workers' health care costs related to pollution. And he's saying that this will take no taxpayer dollars to provide this. If the oil companies are forced to pay these things, what happens to the price of gas? They have to pass along that expense to us. We're already at $4 a gallon.
Yeah, there's an economic truth that corporations do not pay taxes. They only charge for their product, and so they pass taxes along to the consumer, and the consumer will ultimately pay the taxes anytime that you raise the fees or taxes on a corporation. So you're right, we're sitting at $4 a gallon gasoline, and Gabe Vasquez is trying to make it go higher. He claims, kind of like if you don't actually listen too closely, that he's really oil and gas. The truth is he doesn't support oil and gas at all because his party will not give him the right to support oil and gas. You remember the Democrat senator actually from over where Gabe Vasquez used to live, that former Democrat state senator voted against abortion, was a pro-life vote because he declares openly that he was pro-life, and the Democrats ousted him during the next primary. So he simply turned around, registered as a Republican, and now he's running as a Republican in that state Senate district over in that side of the state by Grant County, Silver City. But Congressman Vasquez, of course, he's going to try to make it sound like he supports oil and gas, but he'll be kicked out of the party the same as the former state senator was there.
So how does it work? A Democrat would go to their leadership and say, look, I'm going to have to say these things to get reelected, but that's not really what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's what happens. They go and seek permission from the Speaker of the House or from their majority leader, whoever is the top Democrat. Then they wink and nod and say, sure, go campaign on it. But we'll expect your votes to be right when you get back into office. I watched that just for years. Probably the most significant example was Arkansas. It was almost all Democrats, conservative Democrats, when I first got to Congress. I watched as each one of them got replaced because they kept voting for lower taxes. They kept voting conservative Democrats. They were voting for better jobs, better education. And so as they would support these conservative issues, then they got primaried and booted out of office.
Did you see that on your side? Did the Republican leadership primary Republicans who weren't conservative enough?
I don't know. We had a Speaker of the House that wasn't very conservative, John Boehner, and then following him, Paul Ryan. And so the Republicans may quietly say, hey, you need to be voting with us, but very little primarying goes on like the Democrats. Democrats will get you out of office. Republicans will try to talk you into voting for whatever it is they're trying to get you to vote for.
Steve Pierce and I will be talking about the southern border and more right after this on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, things are not getting any better on our southern border. There's a story about an 11-year-old girl in Texas that was found raped and murdered under her bed.
I think the most important piece of that story is the suffering of law-abiding citizens of this country. People are encouraged to come here. They don't come here by sneaking across the border and maybe trying to get into the country somewhere. They come and purposely let themselves be arrested by Border Patrol, knowing that they're going to be released into the United States. And all they have to do is give a promise to appear in court a later date. But to tell you the truth, when I was in Congress, very few of those people actually ever showed up. And there was no follow-up system. There was no way that the government went to try to track them down. It's just too many and too hard. They scatter too far across the country. You have no way of tracking them. And so now then that pressure on the border is people coming to be arrested knowing that they're going to get released. And then you have the suffering of families. The family of this 11-year-old girl live with the knowledge of what happened to her for the rest of their life. Then there's almost no penalty, no consequence for the actions. You'd have to watch for years to see if this person ever came to trial that murdered her. It could be that they just simply ship him back home and then he can come here again. So that's the chaos that President Biden has implemented at the border. But Governor Grisham refuses to take a stance on it. Even the congressman from the 2nd District, Congressman Vasquez, voted against the Secure Border Act earlier this year. You have a tragedy going on at the border because of not only what's happening to people in this country, but also what's happening to the kids that are being transported here by the cartels. They get abused. They're sold into sexual slavery. They've got almost no rights. They've got no one to speak for them. They're too young. They don't know what's going on. And so the crisis, the tragedy, the human tragedy that's going on right now at the border simply is overlooked by the national media. And shame on the national media for ignoring it.
You have to wonder, because this problem was 99% fixed under the Trump administration. Amazing what he did down there. And even though the wall wasn't completed, he still got illegal crossings way down. So you have to wonder if by changing his policy that the Democrats, not the Democrat people listening to us, but the Democrats in the government want this to happen. Maybe they want to be able to hire people at lower wages than our minimum wage, or I don't know why they're doing this. I can't imagine they want the drug problems we're having, the fentanyl and all that. I don't believe that. But there must be a reason that they changed Trump's policy.
So first of all, chaos is an important part to the left. They want people to give up hope. Inflation and taxation are a big part of the agenda items for the left. They want people to be dependent on the government. They don't want as many jobs. They want people living on government assistance. They just want people to distrust law enforcement. And so this whole thing about defunding the police and the disrespect to the first responders, that's all a part of the plan of the left to create this chaos, because they're able to take over when people just give up hope. And that's, I think, a huge part of what's going on. It's a part of the inflation that is hurting the country so bad. Again, the pain is something that the left values. They want people to have a tough time. And that's the reason you see people right now, the Democrats in the state and across the country, are going around on these tours supporting the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, that name, even Joe Biden claims, was just a ploy as a political game that the Democrats were playing. And he said later that, I wish I hadn't called it the Inflation Reduction Act. It was never reducing inflation. And so, again, you have to understand what the left wants. And the left controls the Democrat Party. They don't control the Democrats out here in New Mexico who just are out going to work every day. They control the legislators in Santa Fe. They control the congressional representatives and senators in Washington. The left is in charge of the Democrat Party, and there's no mistaking it.
And we've lost a very popular pub here in the Albuquerque area due to crime. They just can't deal with the homeless and the crime going on in front of and inside their restaurant.
Yeah, the Loyal Hound Pub closed recently. You remember that Mayor Cower and Governor Grisham said they were going to get rid of crime, yet what they're doing is driving small businesses out of the state. So the Loyal Hound Pub closed after repeatedly being interrupted by break-ins and harassments of customers. The vagrants would come in, begin to walk among the patrons and take food off of the table. They would snatch purses. The people were taking drugs right outside the front door. These are all reasons why the owners of the pub said they're going to close. It was a very popular place, but they had been broken into 8 times since November. And so this crime that the governor says is basically in control, that Mayor Keller blithely goes about declaring that Albuquerque is a safe place, he needs explain that to the businesses who are leaving the state, who are shutting down, going out of business because they just can't stand the chaos that's happening around their business.
I don't know where they're going to get the money to take care of the homeless if all the businesses leave, but I guess they haven't thought that far ahead.
No, so they look at the grocery receipts, they look at the income tax. What they don't realize, if you don't have a business base, then the government workers, your teachers, your people who work in the tax office, your people who work in the highway patrol, they won't have money to pay taxes if there's not a tax base from businesses. So the Democrats fail to understand that basic economic truth, that each government worker would not be getting a salary to pay taxes. And so you have to reduce your planned tax load by all those government workers who cannot pay taxes if the money's not in the tax coffers to pay. and with the Democrats talking about shutting down the oil and gas. And I wonder with Mr. Vasquez's bill, if he's willing to take a public stance in support of the oil and gas companies. He's simply parading around the state, trying to get people to believe that he supports oil and gas. I hope somebody in the media really puts the heat on him and asks him direct in front of a bunch of supporters if he actually supports oil and gas, or if that bill is simply trying to punish oil and gas.
Martin Chavez was the mayor of Albuquerque before Mayor Barry, who was before Tim Keller. We didn't have this high crime rate under Martin Chavez, and he was a Democrat.
Yeah, it's because back then the progressives did not control the Democrat Party. I knew Mayor Chavez, and again, I wouldn't agree with him on many principles, but we all as Americans agreed that we love the country. We might have political differences, but we love the country, and we basically supported the right of people to have the freedom of speech, to have the right to voice their opinions, the right to vote the way they wanted to, and Mayor Chavez fell under that category. I suspect he would be run out now if he weren't willing to stand and talk openly about the police.
It's fun to strategize on these things. We have no idea what's behind the Trump campaign not getting involved in the debate on Wednesday this week. Just from my side, I think, sure, it'd be fun to see him in the debate, but I think he's wise, actually, to not do it, only because a lot fewer people will watch if he's not there, and he's so far ahead in the polls, it's his to lose.
I don't have an opinion one way or another if he ought to or ought not to be in the debates, but I will tell you that it is a strategic decision that, like you said, will probably help him out. He's very shrewd, and I mean shrewd in a positive way. He calculates the risk, the rewards, and he balances out very well. And so I'm sure they've done market studies that he will end up in better shape by skipping the debates where you know that he would be the target and the other candidates would spend their whole time trashing him. So he's saying, why would I go through that? I'll just go to the press the next day and get more airtime than I would have if I were at the debate.
If Trump isn't there, he probably figures far fewer people will watch the debate and hear them trashing him. Some are saying he's afraid to debate the other candidates. I doubt that's it.
You can never sell the idea that Trump is afraid of anything. He's standing up to the most withering fire of indictments and threatened jail time and all this stuff. The American people understand that when he's being attacked for doing nothing, that we could be attacked for doing nothing also. They understand that we have become a banana republic where the law is bent around to punish people. It's not here to provide justice. And so when they see it happening to someone who is president, they are afraid that it could happen to them, and they want somebody who will fight for them. They perceive Trump as being that. And so with all of the problems that he's facing in the courts, his popularity has not waned at all.
Santa Fe Archbishop Wester is taking a stand for life. Steve Pierce and I will be talking about that and more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, Santa Fe Archbishop Wester has taken a powerful stand in support of life.
Archbishop Wester sent a letter out which took a powerful stand in support of life. He underscored the necessity of supporting pregnant mothers and offering healing to those who've experienced past abortions. He emphasized the importance of addressing the underlying reasons that lead women to choose abortion. And so he really takes a pretty full spectrum approach to the issue, but he is still standing on the side of life. And I hope that New Mexicans across the state listen to him. He says we must do all that we can to support the mother and to help her sustain the right to life of her child. And that's our Republican stance, basically, to ensure that women are given the options other than abortion if they want to become the mother of that child. And so kudos to Santa Fe Archbishop Wester for his strong stance.
You had mentioned the president's, they're calling it the IRA, but it's the Inflation Reduction Act, which now, of course, he says it really was about climate change, whatever it is, it is. But it is very difficult to hire people right now. Nobody seems to want to work.
Yeah, I've got 9.6 million open jobs across the country, and that's much higher than any previous decade that statistics have been gathered compared to, for example, June of 2019. The most recent monthly job openings were up by 2.5 million over that period about 4 years ago. The openings in June were 5.8%, meaning about one out of every 20 jobs in the country are unfilled. Even industries such as healthcare and hospitality are experiencing a higher rate of open jobs. And so the Biden-Grisham economy is leading to people who, for some reason, are not either willing or able to get a job, and it's hurting the country. So basically, this governor and the president are satisfied with an anti-small business economy with a lower workforce participation rate than ever before. And so that's going to spell big trouble for us as we move down the road. The cost to government to pay all of the unemployment, to pay the people for the TANF, for the welfare, whatever you want to call it, and the tax base is going to be decreasing. And so anytime you have taxes going down and expenses going up, it's bad for business, bad for a family, and it's also bad for government.
I was out looking for a line of credit, and I was talking to the banker, and with interest rates so high, a lot of people are, as we're just a little over a year away from an election, they're just waiting. Maybe we'll have a new administration that can fix these high interest rates, the high cost of borrowing money. And I wonder, Steve, after the pandemic, the economy took off, okay? The Biden administration says we have to raise interest rates to slow down the economy. Was there a better way to do that?
Well, number one, you don't have to slow down an economy. All you do is make sure that the supply chains keep up with it. What the government regulators are talking about is worrying about inflation. And you can see that their attempt to slow down the economy created the inflation that they were worried about happening. But when you're talking about interest rates, you're facing right now the highest interest rate in 22 years. That is very difficult for businesses. By the time you pay taxes, pay the increased salaries that people are demanding right now to kind of keep up with inflation, you just don't have enough money to reinvest, to keep your equipment up to date, to keep your building up to date. So it's a very difficult time for businesses. And when it's a difficult time for businesses, it's a difficult time for employees. And that's what we're finding. The prices for your average consumer are up almost 17% since Biden took office. That's almost 20%. That's a fifth higher than what they were facing under Trump. Meanwhile, real wages have really dropped. People might be getting pay increases, but when you adjust it for inflation, they're actually working for 3% less than when Biden took office. So you're paying more and actually are earning less. But then you have to face the, and for us out in a western state with a lot of territory in between towns, gas is up almost $1.45, almost $1.50 since Biden took office. I've seen one study that said basically that Americans have lost an average of $10,000 paying the increase of cost living under Biden. That's a real bite, and that explains why nearly three-fourths of Americans say that their financial system is not improving, and almost half of Americans say that it's actually getting worse. When people think that the economy is headed the wrong direction, it's bad for the people in office. You remember the whole statement that Clinton made, it's the economy, stupid. Well, that's the reason that Democrats are out on the road and trying to sell this thing called the Inflation Reduction Act. They think if they tell you a lie often enough that you'll begin to believe it. But when people see that their credit card debt is at an all-time high, when they're punished by the highest interest rate in two decades, when 20 million American households are behind on the utility bills, 60% of the workers are reporting that they're living paycheck to paycheck, and 73% of millennials are saying they're just barely getting by. That's when you have people starting to vote differently, because people will vote their pocketbook. They may not always vote their ethical beliefs. They may not always vote their religious beliefs, but they will vote their pocketbook. It's the reason that the Democrats are scrambling everywhere, and it's the reason they're fighting this redistricting act. They know that Gabe Vasquez is going to be in difficult circumstance without changing the makeup of his district. But if he loses 1 or 2% of his Democrat voters, then he's going to be underwater. And we're going to be sending Yvette Harrell back to the Congress where she should be. And so, yes, you're seeing Democrats scramble right now because they're beginning to understand the truth that crime is out of control in New Mexico. The economy is underwater here in New Mexico. The health care is not accessible. They see their kids in failing schools, and people are saying, wait, I think I'm going to vote differently this time. And so Democrats are scrambling.
Thank you, Steve, and we'll look forward to show number 201 next week. If you've been listening to the program and you'd like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. Check out the website at newmexico.gop. Party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account, now X account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call Party Headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.